Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, Text Number 18. Shri Balir Uvacha. Aho Brahmana Dayada. Vachaste Rida Samata. Tvambalo Balisha Mati. Swartam Pratyabudo Yata. Shri Bali Uvacha. Bali Maharaj said, Aho, alas, Brahmana Dayada. O son of a Brahmana, Vachaha, the words, Te, of you, Vrida Samata, are certainly acceptable to learned and elderly persons. Twam, you, Bala, a boy, Balisha, Mati, without sufficient knowledge, Swartam, self-interest, Prati, toward Abuddha, not knowing sufficiently, Yata, as it should have been. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Palimara said, O son of a Brahmana, your instructions are all as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nevertheless, you're a boy, and your intelligence is insufficient. You are not prudent, very prudent in regard to your self-interest. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being full in himself, actually has nothing to want for his self-interest. Lord Vamanadeva, therefore, had not gone to Bali Maharaj for his own self-interest. As said in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram yagetapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. The Lord is the proprietor of all planets in both the material and spiritual worlds. Why should he be in want of land? Bali Maharaj rightly said that Lord Vamanadeva was not at all prudent in regard to his own self-interest. Lord Vamanadeva had approached Bali not for his personal welfare, but for the welfare of his devotees. Devotees sacrifice all personal interests to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and similarly the Supreme Lord, although having no personal interests, can do anything for the interests of his devotees. One who is full in himself has no personal interests. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, beginning with the words, Janma karma tamedivyam evam yo veti tattvadaha tyaktva deham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. That one who can understand in truth the nature of my appearance and my activities does not take birth again in the material world, but goes back to the spiritual world. In other words, if we want to become full in ourselves, we have to become in contact with the person who's already full. We can't be full in ourselves unless we're fully Krishna conscious. Because if we become conscious of Krishna, then everything we desire is already there, because everything is there in Krishna. Because if we desire to become Krishna, as it says in the next verse, Vita raga baya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bahava gyana tapasa putamadbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment and from fear and from anger and being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became full of knowledge of me, and thus they attained transcendental love for me. So in other words, If we have a misconception or misconceptions, then those misconceptions will prevent us from being conscious of Krishna. And if we're not conscious of Krishna, then we'll have to become conscious of the material nature. And if we're because we're conscious, we have to become conscious of something. So if we're conscious of the material nature, we won't be satisfied. Because conscious of the material nature, Prabhupada is defined in three different aspects. Well, Krishna actually is saying Vita, Raga, and Baya. Material nature means Vita, Raga, means Raga. Material nature means hankering for something we don't have. Always feeling, and in other words, if we identify ourselves with this gross or the subtle material bodies, the gross and subtle material bodies, they're devised for hankering and for lamentation. That's how they're programmed. They always desire something that's called lust. And when we get it, then we want more of it. That's called greed. And eventually we get sick of it, or we can't get enough of it. We can't get it anymore. And that's called anger, frustration. So as long as we're in the material world, in material consciousness, at least, then that's our two types of consciousness, hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we've lost. All due to the fact that we've become absorbed in the body and the concept of life. In other words, by nature we're worshippers, we have to worship something, but now that we're worshipping our material bodies, that's how they inspire us, lust, anger, and greed. We've chosen our worshipful deity, and they're giving us directions through lust, anger, and greed, and we're very obediently serving them. Or as one great devotee said, kamadinam katida katida palitad dorne deshas. Kamadinam is so many desires. I've tried in so many ways to fulfill my desires, and what I've gotten was more desires as a result. Kamadinam katida katida palitas dorni deshas, and they've never been satisfied with my service. Yesterday we all took prasadam, and because it's not a fast day today, probably most of us will take prasadam. There's no day in the week, usually that the body, even if we, with our intelligence, we decide today, every Sunday I'm going to fast, well not Sunday, every Saturday I'm going to fast. And maybe after some years, the body gets used to it. But if we say, well, today, it's Saturday, I'm not going to fast, the body doesn't go, wait a second, you're supposed to fast every Saturday. And it goes, wow, finally, you've seen the light. Let's get into it again. So generally speaking, the body never wants us to give up lust, anger, and greed. And what does it speak of the mind? Now, there's only so much we can eat before we get sick, and there's only so many times we get sick before we're going to decide not to get sick anymore. There's only so much we can sleep. There's only 24 hours a day that we can sleep. You can't sleep more than 24 hours a day, even if you tried hard. And similarly, sex life has its limitations too, and we can only defend so much. So many attackers. Even if we're expert in the martial arts, after some time, we get defeated. If there's enough attackers who are expert enough. So, with this gross body, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, we have our limits. Although, according to, if you watch movies, you may think that there is no limit. Or if you get on an airplane and you watch people eat the five meals that they serve, you may think that people have a bottomless pit for a stomach. But ultimately there is some limit to how much we can actually eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But the mind, there is no limit. We can have huge meals 10 times a day in our mind. And it'll never be satisfied. The mind will make plans for having more and more and more, there's no satisfaction for the mind. There's no satiation. If you get your first million, then you want your second one. And then you get your first billion, you need another couple of billion to feel. And then more and more and more. There's no end to it. So in the material world, there's no satisfaction. Or as one singer said, I can't get no satisfaction. Because people don't get any satisfaction in the material world. All they do is get the idea that if they do something, there's some possibility in the future they may be satisfied. Similarly, the carrot in front of the donkey inspires him to take one step forward, in spite of the fact that the load is very, very heavy. The donkey still takes one step forward in order to get the carrot, although the carrot also goes one step ahead of him. But still the whole day, the donkey is such a donkey that he'll actually keep on moving forward, hoping that the next step he'll achieve the goal. But there is no a possibility of achieving the goal, because the goal is always one step ahead of the donkey. So that's the material world. Everyone has their plan, and if I satisfy that plan, then happiness will be there. But happiness is always one step ahead of us. And if we become satisfied for a second, it's just like pouring water, oil on a fire, ghee on a fire. You can pour gasoline on a fire, for instance, and it appears to go out, but the next moment it flares up even more. So we may satisfy our lust or anger or greed for a moment, and then it'll become more and more stronger, not weaker. Therefore, Krishna says, as long as we have certain conceptions, then we'll always be separated from Krishna, always hankering for something. What was that? I always forget that verse. About how a devotee, he doesn't have any desires. So how the karmis, the gyanis, and the yogis, they're never happy because they have so many desires. But the devotee, he's satisfied because he has no desire. But we're trying to cultivate desire. The whole modern society is meant to inspire us to get more and more desires. Advertisements aren't meant to make people satisfied. You never see, some advertisement on the bulletin board, happy family at home, we don't need anything, we're just happy together. No, the whole idea is if you want to make your wife happy, then you have to keep on buying her things. If you want to make your husband happy, you have to become more and more decorated. And if you want to make your children happy, forget it. It's not possible. You'd have to buy them a whole kingdom that they could play with. And then they break the kingdom anyhow. And if you want to make your dog happy, just give him a bone. Or at least a biscuit. He'll be happy for 20 seconds, then he'll want another one. So the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, they're always unsatisfied because of unfulfilled desires. So who in the world is trying to get free from desires? Is there any school in the world that teaches you how to become free from desires nowadays? If you go to college, they'll teach you how to become celibate, how to give up all bad habits, how to become absorbed in spiritual consciousness. Is there any college like that that gives you a degree in higher consciousness? No, the whole idea is to cultivate the lowest possible consciousness you can. If you come out like a human being at the end of your education, the school fails you. So the main types of consciousness is materialism. That's probably the state of consciousness that practically everyone is on, that there's nothing beyond matter. When you leave this body, when this body dies, it's the end of everything. complete and utter unconsciousness, materialism. Same consciousness that the animals are on. The animals aren't looking forward to the next lifetime. They think, wow, I'm a tiger. They say if I'm, or a lion, in my next lifetime I'll get born into the human society in the mode of passion. I can't wait. Maybe I'll become a king. I'm already king, but I'd like to be king of a bigger kingdom than just this little part of the forest. I can't wait till they leave my body. No, the lion doesn't think like that, nor does the cow think like that. None of the animals think like that. They're not thinking, oh my God, I hope I get a better birth in my next lifetime. And the human beings don't think like that either. They think just like the animals, at the end of this life, everything's finished. Even though they can see their body is finishing all the time, every body we ever had is finished, but we're still around. But still, Pashana Pina Pashati. They're looking, they're seeing at every moment, but they can't see anything because they have no intelligence. It's been robbed by their materialistic consciousness. As we can't convince a dog that he's not his body, so one who's absorbed in materialism, they can't be convinced of anything. And there's a few people, they have some idea that the body is different from themselves, even if they're on the mental platform. So they can come up to Brahman, that I'm spirit. But they'll never admit that there's a supreme spirit. They think, oh yes, we're spirit, we're all God. You're God, I'm God, the dog's God. Dharidra Narayan, he's especially God because he's poor. So now we have to feed poor Dharidra Narayan, poor Narayan, with goat Narayan. The goat is also Narayan, but he's just a goat, so he has to feed the bigger Narayan. So this impersonalism, and then above impersonalism, or below impersonal, avoidism. We're not eternal. This material nature doesn't even exist. Everything is ultimately void. It comes out of the void, goes back into the void. So these are all disturbed states of consciousness. How can anyone be joyful? Yes, my original, I came from the void. Who's your parents? Oh, my father was a general, my mother was a big actress. And what about your parents? Oh, they were the void. I came out of the void. Really? So sorry. So sad to hear that. So that's what people are thinking in general. At the end of this life, you're finished, and you just enter into the void, and it's all over. All the big criminals in ancient history and past history, or in this history, they all enter into the void like everyone else. So it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. It makes no difference because at the end of life, everything's finished. You just disappear. So you might as well cheat people, steal, lie, whatever else you can do, if you can get away with it. Because at the end of life, you disappear and no one could find you. Where'd that rascal go? He owes me 300,000 euros. Where'd he go? He went into the void. Do you want to chase after him? No, I think I'll meet him later. So that's what people are thinking, and that's why they're so disturbed. That's why they're so afraid. Someone's coming to kill you. Before it was the terrorists. You walk down the street, look at someone. Does he look like a terrorist? Doesn't look very happy. What's in his pocket? Allah Akbar. And now it's some invisible enemies coming to attack everyone. And everyone has it. Everyone's carrying it as an agent. He looks like he's going to sneeze. Please don't sneeze. He might kill me. I don't want to die. Please don't sneeze. That's why, so everyone's in a complete state of fear because they don't know what's coming next. And either when it was a materialist or an impersonalist or a voidist, it's not very pleasant. Anything that's going to happen next is very unpleasant. We're only here for some years, few years, and then afterwards it comes next. We all either disappear or emerge into the material nature. When I die, my dear body, who's myself, the vultures come and eat it in some cultures, and then we come out as, you know, we get become as the remnants of the vulture. The beautiful body that people are taking pictures of, they don't want to take pictures of it anymore. Or we're buried, and the moths eat it, and the ants eat it. And you open up the coffin, you see some bones left. And a lot of ants crawling around, happy ants. Or they burn the body and we become ashes, quick way. So, in any case, people think this, if we think that we're this body, what is the future? It's very depressing. Take a picture of your grandparents, you know, have the ashes on there. Grandma, Grandpa, you look a little thin. Maybe you should eat a little bit more. But these are all misconceptions, and therefore Krishna says, Ye yatamam prapadyante, tam sitava bhajamyaham, mama vart manu vartante, manusha partha sarvasha. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So everyone is following Krishna's path. The more we deny Krishna, the more we go against Krishna's laws, his instructions, then the more we fall into those three things. Materialism, impersonalism, and voidism. The more we suffer. Think about a billionaire. They have everything material because they're materialists. Probably that's how they become a billionaire. But what can you get? What happiness can you squeeze out of the material nature? What could it do for you? Even if you have the most fancy car, or hundreds of fancy cars, so you're riding the car, you're not walking anymore. You can't digest your food. You can't breathe the air. You're always worried that someone's going to scratch my car, or steal it, or say something bad about it. Or become envious about it. So you're in anxiety. You have this beautiful car, so-called beautiful car, made out of metal and plastic, electric wiring, can go off the road and kill you at any moment, or someone else can crash into you. And you think, I'm enjoying. Enjoying what? You're not doing any exercise, you're not breathing, you can't eat anything. It's just a mental concoction that I have some car, so therefore I'm a very good person. I'm important. Aham car. I am the car. On the other hand, people work in the field, good digestion, can eat as much as they like, breathing fresh air, hopefully drinking clean water, satisfied with whatever they can have because they're satisfied. Their body is not hankering for anything. Their mind is peaceful. And they're called primitive. And someone who has 100 cars that he doesn't even know where they are, he's considered to be advanced. Although he's worried about every one of them. So Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you. So the more we go away from God consciousness, the more we go away from Krishna consciousness, then the more we suffer. Because we go away from the source of happiness, which is Krishna. So modern society, as I pointed out, that's all they're doing is going away from Krishna. They're proud of it. They're trying to destroy Krishna, eliminate him completely. and eliminate anything that has to do with Krishna. Not only do they want to kill the animals, especially the cow and the bull, they want to kill their own children nowadays. They want to kill the old people. When you have to sign a document telling you how old you are, you'll be afraid. If I put too many years on the document, who knows what they're going to do to me. So everyone is always putting down 20 years younger. You look like you're around 90 years old. No, I'm only 25. I just look old for my age. That's all. But I remember you. You were here 40 years ago. Oh, no, that was my brother. He passed away. So they've gone away, especially because they're killing the cow and the bull. They're killing their own children. They want to kill the old people. Everyone that you're supposed to protect, that's what they want to destroy and get rid of. And they think they're advancing. They think that the material nature of Krishna is going to be happy with them and give them all kinds of happiness and facility for material enjoyment. But they're wrong. They're just, Krishna's going to put them in more and more suffering and anxiety. So they stop their nonsense. So they wake up. And if they don't do that, then back to the lower species of life and learn the lesson gradually. You can't learn tolerance as a human being. You can't tolerate your senses. You want to stand naked in public, then become a tree. For thousands of years, everyone can walk by and look at your beautiful body. Wow, look at that tree. How exciting. I really like those branches. So we don't learn the lesson as a human being, then we have to learn the lesson as a lower species of life. But the lesson eventually has to be learned that we have to give up our material conceptions and at least follow Krishna's instructions to get some real path in life. Because, as it says here, Krishna, he's equal to everyone. All he does, all his instructions are only meant for our well-being. And that well-being begins with becoming out of the bodily concept of life. For the soul, there's no suffering because he's eternal. And for the one who's in the material concept of life, he's always worried that he's going to die. But he's not going to die. He's only going to leave the body. Only the body is changing, not the soul. So it's just ignorance. So Krishna comes especially to give knowledge to help the living entities get out of this ignorance. We're only suffering because we think we're going to die. Because we think we're missing something. We are missing something. We're missing Krishna consciousness. And if we become Krishna conscious, then we can become actually satisfied, free from all fear, all attachment, fear and anger, and therefore actually become happy and peaceful and joyous. So if one wants that path, then it's there for Krishna. Krishna is giving it. And if one rejects it, then one will simply have to suffer. Doesn't matter how much one is advancing so-called material existence, how many followers they get on Facebook, how many likes they get, how much money they accumulate in the bank, it's all shrama avi kevalam. It's just a waste of time if it doesn't help one develop Krishna consciousness. So we have to understand that Krishna, he only gives instructions for our welfare. He's only appearing for our welfare. He has no other business because he's already is completely satisfied himself. But he's only unhappy, like Prahlad Maharaj, to see that others are unhappy. So he wants to make everyone happy because he's merciful. And we have to allow him to make us happy. If we reject his instructions, then that's our own problem. It's not Krishna's problem. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture. I wonder, I know many people who are not Krishna consciousness and are not, they not know about God.
Nothing.
They are not consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and not consciousness of God.
God, yeah.
Yeah. But they are the same, full in their self, nice, and they want to satisfy others and doing all for others. And what is this? From where they are in good?
Well, they must have some contact with some people who are Krishna conscious to some degree. Everyone is conscious of Krishna to some degree. There's no such thing as unconsciousness of Krishna, because there's nothing but Krishna. So in our society, there have been religious leaders, whether it be Jesus Christ or Muhammad or others, who come and gave teachings, God-conscious teachings, and somehow or another they were manifested or they were imbibed within society. That's why it seems to be like a human society. So they may not give credit to the person who's giving the instructions. They may not even acknowledge what the purpose is, but they've imbibed some good qualities because they followed directly or indirectly the teachings of these spiritual personalities. But then again, we have to see that in the forest there are many animals. Not all of them are tigers, ferocious. Some of them are like deers. They're gentle animals. But they're still animals, even though they're gentle. So in the forest, material enjoyment, there are some ferocious human animals and there's some gentle animals. They're all animals. We're not despising animals. I mean, people love animals. Matter of fact, sometimes the dog in the family is the most beloved of anyone. It's the only one that keeps the family together. So taking care of the dog. But it's still, it's a dog. It doesn't really have any higher consciousness.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, about self-satisfaction in spiritual life. Impersonalists are also self-satisfied.
Oh, you think
at
so?
At least Srimad Bhagavatam talk about that. Like example, Shukadeva Goswami. Yeah,
yeah, he wasn't satisfied.
Sorry?
He wasn't satisfied.
Uh-huh. That's answer. Because I told you that.
One who's situated in Brahman, there's happiness, but it's not complete happiness. There's some peacefulness, but there's no happiness there. There's no real happiness. But compared to our state of being of unhappiness, when you become at least neutral, then that appears to be happiness. But after a while, you get bored of that too. So without the ananda, there's no real happiness. There's just sat, eternality. Which is better than asat. Here we're always in anxiety about dying, but when there's no more anxiety about dying, we're eternal. We may call that happiness, but it's not really happiness. It's just the absence of misery.
So when you said neutral, did you mean about neutral rasa with Krishna? Or?
No, there's neutrality, there's impersonalism, shanta, but that's not Shantarasa. Shantarasa means you're aware of Krishna. But just impersonalism, Brahman realization, doesn't mean that you're aware of God, Krishna. There's no experience of Krishna consciousness. There's only experience of Krishna's effulgence without Krishna. It's like watching a television program. There's nothing on. Just the light. There's no program going on. How long can you watch the program? Because it may be better than most of the programs on television now. This blank screen. But after a while you get bored. Probably turn on the television, different channel after some time. Anything else?
Could people who has good karma and they are peaceful, Could they be also in some degree self-satisfied, we can say?
To some degree, everyone's self-satisfied. After a big feast, we feel some sense of satisfaction. But the pig is self-satisfied. He has a big smile. Filled up its belly. Nice and warm. Nothing to worry about. No rent or anything like that to worry about. But do we want to have the satisfaction of a pig? Is that self-satisfaction? So there is some kind of satisfaction in the material world. Peacefulness, that all my senses are not disturbing me anymore. But that's not a very high realm of satisfaction. It's not a high degree of self-satisfaction.
Satisfaction of ignorance, actually, kind of.
Yeah. Without knowing Krishna, then we're just in ignorance. We don't really know what happiness, what satisfaction really is. But we take, I'm not being disturbed by my senses, so I'm satisfied. So we don't know what the purpose of the soul is. The purpose of the soul is to seek after pleasure, real pleasure, all the time. But that real pleasure comes from loving Krishna and serving Him, not just by satisfying the senses. Anything else?
Online question.
Okay.
Our Duttada writes us. In my case, desires don't stop, but I am not inclined to fulfill all of them, and then I feel unhappy. What's wrong? When that stage of Shantarasa will come?
Can you repeat the question again?
What's wrong if I'm not inclined to fulfill my desires and I feel unhappy? What's wrong? And when that stage of Shanta will come?
Probably never come. Unless we try to fulfill Krishna's desires, then our desire to not have desires is also going to be a desire. So we have to have some positive desire. Then we'll become peaceful. Now, because we misidentify ourselves with this body, therefore we're trying to avoid desire, the material desires of the body. But there's no end to it. Even Hiranyakashipu, he was living in his bones, and he still had desires. He still wanted to become God, the Lord of the whole universe. Even he was down to bones. So even we're down to bones, we still have unlimited desires. Although we may try and repress them or ignore them, but unless we get positive desires in Krishna consciousness, we'll never be peaceful. We'll always have something that we're hankering about or lamenting about. Well, if only I ate something, I wouldn't be just bones anymore. I should have eaten something. My God, this is embarrassing. Hope no one takes a picture of me. So even he tried to give up all desires to the extent of becoming bones, then there's lamentation there. Unless Brahma came and offered 100, he offered any benediction Hiranyakashipu wanted. And the reason why he was there for 120 years of the demigods, just fasting, was because he wanted to become immortal. And the first thing Brahma said is, I'm sorry, I can't make you immortal. What a disappointment. I've been here for 120 years, the demigods, fasting, going through this torture, and now you're telling me I'm not going to get what I want? I mean, how did Hiranyakashipu feel? Probably felt a little depressed. Okay. Khwala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.